The title of message for today is I am the light of the world. And if you could just look up here and look at the picture, can you imagine you are walking in darkness without the light? Can you imagine that? Have you ever tried it? I recall about, I don't know exactly how many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, when I went to Sudan. Okay, Sudan is north of Uganda, the mission field that we go to every single year for the last 10 years and plus. And Sudan has been fighting for 40 years. Okay, North and South Sudan, they've been fighting. And because they've been fighting, there's no infrastructure. If you could just imagine that. There is no like street lights. There is no paved road. There is no clean water. There's nothing, basically. And I remember walking to this marketplace at night with this pastor, and we're coming back home. And because there is no light, can you imagine? I was tripping all over the place. I couldn't walk anymore. There were a whole bunch of people walking around. I think there were, you know. But I was walking, but I couldn't because I was tripping up, and I really didn't know where he was going. Where I was going, and remember this pastor just kind of grabbed me and began to walk with me, okay? Because they're so used to walking in the light and walking in darkness, I guess he was able to do that better. But walking in darkness is pretty scary, actually, okay? And the verse that I would like to propose in this beginning of this message is, do you remember the word is the lamp unto my feet and the light to my path. The word is the lamp unto my feet. I'm looking at the picture. The word, Jesus, the word is the lamp unto my feet and light to my path. Okay. What does light and darkness signify? It is pretty important, important imagery, not only in John's gospel, but throughout the scripture. Do you recall, the first thing that God created was what? Let there be light. Okay? In other words, God had the source of light. Let there be light. Do you remember how Revelation chapter 22 ends? Okay? Which is the New Testament, last chapter of the book. The Lord will be the light to his people. It begins with light. It ends with light. And everything in between, there is imagery of light and darkness. Let me just give you some verses, just to give you just kind of glance of what light and darkness kind of signifies. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 19, the Lord be your everlasting light. The Lord will be your everlasting light. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 104, verse 2, God is robed with light. Can you picture that? God is robed, clothed with the light. And Daniel chapter 2, verse 22 says, light dwells with God, tabernacles with God. Okay. Micah 7, 8 and 9, rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise, and I sit in darkness, but Lord will be my light. Okay, he will bring forth to the light. So throughout the Old Testament, Lord is the light, and Lord signifies with the light. What about in the New Testament? Remember, Paul became through the light on the way to Damascus. Okay, Revelation chapter 22, verse 5 says, for the Lord God will be their light. 1 John 1, 5 says, God is light, and him there is no darkness at all. James 1:17 says, Father of light, children of light. Do you get the picture? And this whole concept of war between light and darkness is throughout the scripture. And let me introduce just a couple of them. John chapter 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light and darkness. John chapter 3, verse 19 says, Lord, the light has come into the world, And men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. John chapter 3, verse 21 says, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest their works should be exposed." John chapter 36, sons of lights. Ephesians chapter 5, 8, children of light. 1 John 1, 7 says, walking in the light. You get the picture, okay? There are basically two options: walk in the light and walk in darkness, okay? That's just how it is. I think we are living in a very dark world right now, especially right now. So many people are concerned about this epidemic, pandemic of coronavirus, and we should be, I think. In my entire life, I've never seen it like this. 2003, we had an outbreak of SARS. It wasn't on this level, okay? This is almost like a movie that is happening right now. There are about 15,000 people infected, known infected, and 300 people are dead because of the virus. I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know how it's going to resolve. But everything is in the hand of the Lord, isn't it? Right? We're living in a pretty dark world. And, you know, this week we will hopefully finalize this whole impeachment thing in the Senate. We need to pray for the country. We need to pray for China. We need to pray for the world right now. We are living in a dark, unknown world. Can you imagine? You're walking in darkness, okay? And darkness does not leave you alone. It overtakes you, Bible says. It's going to overtake you, okay? So that as an introduction. Oh, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? God is the light, okay? And Jesus said, I am the light. Ego eimi, seven I am sayings, which is a very significant thing about John's gospel. Jesus said, I am the light, okay? And Lord is the light. God is the light. And light is salvation. And light is life. Light is without fear. I think opposite is true as well. Darkness, no salvation. Death, okay? Darkness is death. Darkness is fear, okay? That's basically what it is. The Lord is my light and my salvation, and whom shall I fear? Okay? In today's text, we talked about last week a woman who was caught at the act of adultery, okay? And we talked about how when the light comes, everything will be cut. Everything will be exposed. If not now, one day when you stand before the light, everything will be exposed. Everything will be cut. We talked about that last week. And then verse 12, which follows immediately after that story, is Jesus standing in front of Jerusalem temple, still around Feast of Tabernacle. Do you remember that? Feast of Tabernacle is celebrating God's salvation from slavery, Egyptian slavery. And we're going to go back a little bit further. Do you remember how they came into the desert? They crossed the Red Sea. God deliberately not led them to the land, but God deliberately led Israelites toward the Red Sea. I personally have been to Red Sea. Some of you have, actually, 7-8 years ago when Newhart went to Egypt. That's when the plane almost, you know, crashed, right? And we went to Red Sea. It's an ocean. It's not a lake. It's not a small river. It's an ocean, like Jones Beach, literally in front of you. And could you picture that? God led toward the Red Sea, and there is an army pursuing them. What kind of army? The most advanced, strongest, powerful army of that time. Egyptian army. Probably equivalent to U.S. Military force of right now, of that time. You know, when you see YouTube, now you see all these, the little bit picture of military forces of U.S. power. And sometimes I watch that, just glance at it, and B-52, I think it is. It's more expensive than 70 tons of gold going underneath the radar and drop nuclear bombs anywhere. Can you imagine that? And Pharaoh's army was pursuing after this 2 million people who had no army training whatsoever. They were slaves for 400 years. They had no battle experience. They were pursuing right behind them with anger, and in front of them was the Red Sea. Okay, do you remember that? And the pillar of cloud moved from the front to the back and stand before Israelites and the Egyptian army, kind of protecting them. And when Moses lifted up the staff, the Red Sea was completely divided. East wind blowing, just continued blowing. If you could just picture that. And the ocean is parted. Okay. And they cross on dry land. And after that, God just completely destroyed the Egyptian army. Do you remember that? And throughout the Old Testament, that's the story, salvation story. And for the next 40 years in the desert, okay, in the wilderness where there is no life, no source of food, no source of water, no source of like accommodation, no motels, no like, what is that thing? Airbnb, yeah. No Airbnb. Thank you. Paul reads my mind now. Yeah, no Airbnb. You're just there. I've been to Jordanian desert wilderness, and I've been driven it toward this place called this place. And for hours, it's the wilderness. Hours. Nothing but plain of deadness. There are mountains, but there is no life. There is no tree. There is no food. There is nothing. And during the day, the temperature rises up to 130 to 140 degrees. We have a brother from Texas. You know, I asked him, how does he get in Texas? Not up to like 130, 40 degrees, maybe 110 degrees. Can you imagine being in the wilderness during the day without any sort of UV protection, walking 2 million people, no water, and at night, the temperature drops down below freezing temperature, 30, 40 degrees. Do you see the drop? Do you see the drop? Very, very conducive for flu and viruses, I think, right? Most hostile region, one of the most hostile region in the world, and they traveled through for 40 years. God led them and fed them and protected them. And they are celebrating that. They are remembering that. They are remembering Feast of Tabernacle, okay? And last week, we talked about one of the most important ceremonies of the tabernacle, which is pouring of the water on the altar. The high priest go to the pool of Siloam and bringing a water in a golden pitcher, and the Levites would follow them, and they are singing Hallel, and then they pour water on the altar, which had a palm branches over it. And what are they doing? They are remembering God giving water, living water. And there, Jesus said, whoever is thirsty, come to me. And if you drink of me, you will have a rivers of living water flowing you. It's pretty audacious if you think about it. Okay. In other words, he's saying, I am Yahweh. I am the giver of the living water. That was chapter 7. Chapter 8, now there's another very, very important ceremony of Feast of Tabernacle, which was lighting of the candles. Okay, lighting of the candles. And what it was I need to show you this picture, and I send it to some of you, and you could pass this around. This is the kind of like a picture of a Solomon's temple or Herod's temple, which was destroyed in AD 70. Okay, now right up here is the actual Holy of Holies and holy place, and this place right here, where you see four pillars, is called Court of Treasury. Okay, Court of Women. A court of treasury. Why is that important? Because right here, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Where did he say that? Right here, verse 20. These words he spoke in the treasury, the court of women. as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour has not yet come. Now, I don't think that's a random information. That's a pretty pertinent information. Where Jesus was speaking this was right here. Okay, court of women or treasury, where there is a 13 ram horn looking basket kind of thing, and you put your offerings to the Lord for all kinds of reasons. That's why it's called treasury. But what else do you see? What else do you notice there? The four tall towers, which is about 80 feet tall. Can you picture that? 80 feet? Pretty tall, right? And what they do is they light up that lights. And it is so magnificent. Historians say that the entire courts, entire city of Jerusalem could see the light, remembering the provision and protection and leading of God. And what are they remembering? Pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. Okay? Pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. And what Jesus is saying when he said, I am the light of the world, he's claiming that I am the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire. I am the pillar of Shekinah. Shekinah is the transliteration of the word dwelt, okay, of the glory. I am the light of the world, and I am the pillar of fire and pillar of cloud. That's what he's claiming. But I think what's really intriguing is, if you could look at verse 12, I am the light of the world. And then he goes, whoever follows me. Okay, how do you follow the light? Light is pretty stationary. How do you follow the light? But if you consider this in light of pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, it makes a total sense, right? Whoever follows me, not walk in darkness. Imagine if you don't follow the pillar of cloud and you just kind of like, okay, I'm staying here by myself. Okay? What would have happened to you? Just stay there for one day. The Israelite is gone, pillar of cloud is gone, you're in the wilderness. During the day, you're going to have to withstand 140 degrees of heat, without water, without food, without any protection. And then the night comes, temperature drops to 30, 40 degrees, without food, without Airbnb, without any kind of heater of any sort, you stay there. Can you imagine what's going to happen? Basically, the darkness will overtake you, and the death comes. Okay? And Jesus is saying, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me, okay, you get that picture, will not walk in darkness, but will have life, light of life. Light signifies or equivalent to life. Okay? So that's the kind of thing that Jesus was claiming. Okay? I want us to go to the story of pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. In our Bible study, we had more extensive study of Exodus and Numbers and things like that, and Ephesians even. But I want to just show you what happened, okay? Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. What was the pillar of cloud and what was the pillar of fire? Okay, what is the significance of pillar of cloud and pillar of fire? Exodus 13:21. And the Lord went before them, Israelites, as they were getting out of the country. Who was that? It was Yahweh himself. By day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way. And by night, it was the pillar of fire. What do you see? Pillar of fire and pillar of cloud was the Lord. It's called theophany. Theophany, which means visual manifestation of God who is invisible. Okay? Throughout the scripture, God does that. Okay? He shows up as a fiery melting pot in Genesis 15. Sometimes a fourth man in Daniel's lion's den. Here with a pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. And what was that? What was the significance of that? It was the Lord himself. God himself. From the beginning until when? All the way to Canaan, people. all the way to Canaan. Okay? It was the pillar of fire, pillar of cloud. It was the theophany of Lord himself. And listen to, look at this. Okay? Lead them along the way, and by night, a pillar of fire to give them what? Light. Light. Okay? So that they might travel day and by night. Verse 24, which I think it is significant. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart them before the people. Isn't that amazing? Those of you who know the history of Israelites in the desert, how were they? Were they good people? Were they very obedient people? Were they very submissive people? They complained bitter, and they were complaining about everything. Why would you want to take us out here and let us have a mass grave here? We could have died in Egypt. We wanted to serve Egyptians. What about meat? What about water? Where is Moses? They just continue to complain, continue to wallow, continue to be bitter, continue to be saying things like that. But the Bible says the Lord did not depart from them before the people. He was always in front of them, sometimes behind them, sometimes among them. Okay? It's the presence of the Lord. Okay? That's what we see. Okay? Okay. Probably too young to remember this movie, Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston. Okay? There's the Israelites, and there's that pillar of fire, theophany of God himself. And what do you see behind them? Do you see anything behind them? That's the Egyptian army pursuing after them with B-52 bombers. That's basically what it is. Okay? And what does God do? What does pillar of cloud do? Pillar of fire do? He was standing in the front, and it kind of goes back to the back. So stand before Israelites, and there you have an ocean in front of them, and the army behind them. But the pillar of fire stands right between Israelites, his people, and the enemies. I think it is significant. Can you picture that? Okay. Pillar of cloud in the desert leading the people. It must have been magnificent, because it had to kind of cover them, 2 million people. And that's the kind of wilderness picture you have to picture. Okay. Pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. Okay. Exodus chapter 14. What happened? Okay. And they're going to cross the Red Sea. And let's see what happens. And what is the role of pillar of cloud and pillar of fire? So Lord decided, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh. In other words, I'm going to destroy Pharaoh's army. I'm going to destroy this most advanced army in the world at the time, and his chariots, B-52 bombers, and his horsemen. I'm going to just destroy everything. And he does, right? And here's what happens. The angel of God, or God himself, who was going before the army of Israel, in other words, God was in the front, moved and went behind them. Can you picture that? He was in the front. Now he goes to the back, right? And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. It was God, and it was the pillar of cloud. Verse 20, could you look at this carefully, which is an amazing miracle? Coming between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel, and there was the cloud and the darkness, and then there was a cloud which lit up the night, and there is a light. Can you picture it? Same pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, but darkness toward Egyptians, but light toward Israelites. That's what it says. That's what happened. Sometimes in the Old Testament, God does this supernatural things. Remember, God stopped the sun moving in the book of Joshua? And here, same cloud, same pillar of cloud and fire, and toward one side, toward the Egyptians, is darkness, which probably put army into chaos. Can you imagine that? I told you, try to walk in Sudan. I couldn't see people. I really couldn't. I mean, African people are pretty dark, so I can't see at night. I couldn't see anything. Can you see? Can you imagine an entire army try to do something in darkness? But on this side, there is light and pillar of cloud. In other words, Lord stood before his enemy and his people. Which I think it is so insightful. If you think about the protection in your life, there is God standing before enemy or Satan, satanic forces, and his people. Which means if the enemy has to come to me, get to me, he has to go through God. And I believe that. Do you know that expression, over my dead body? God is saying, over my dead body. Over my dead body. Unless God allows, nothing can come to you. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God justifies us, who can condemn us? Do you catch that? There's nothing that's going to go through to you unless enemy has to go through God. Can you imagine that? Okay. Let's see what happens. Okay. Verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind. Now, this is ocean in front of me. Red Sea. I've seen it. East wind all night. Okay. Wind. East to west. Just blowing it and then parting the Red Sea. Shh. Like that. And by dry land, and water was divided. But God hardened the heart of the Pharaoh and Egyptian army. They pursue after them. Next morning, what happened? Do you remember what happened? Okay. Lord will bring back the water and destroy the entire Egyptian army. And that's the story of Old Testament salvation story throughout the Old Testament people. What does pillar of cloud and pillar of fire signify? Number one, theophany, presence of God. Number two, his absolute protection over his people. Absolute faithfulness. He's in front of you, and he's behind you, and he's with you. And Jesus is saying, I am the cloud, a pillar of a cloud and pillar of fire. I am the light of the world. Okay? It's pretty amazing. What else? There's a third thing that it signifies. Throughout 40 years, Israelites followed the pillar of cloud during the day and pillar of fire during the night, and they had to. Otherwise, you will be in the darkness. Okay? So they followed. If you read Numbers chapter 9, verse 15, this is how they followed. And this is not the entire chapter. You should take a look at it carefully. Because if you do it, it's going to be the repetition of what it is here. Repeat, 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 repeat. You will know what I mean if you read the chapter. And I think about why. I'll explain to you at the end, okay? So this is what happened, okay? On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle. What was the tabernacle? That's the mobile church, okay? The tabernacle where the Ark of Covenant was, presence of God was, and tabernacle, okay? And the cloud, the Shekinah, was covering over it, the tent of testimony. And evening, it was the tabernacle, like the appearance of fire. During the day, it was a cloud, and night, it was the fire, just covering over the tabernacle, okay, until morning. Verse 16, so it was always the cloud covered by day and appearance of fire at night, which means all the time, okay? Cloud and fire and cloud. Cloud and fire and cloud. Theophany of God. So how did God lead this people? Verse 17 and 18. Whenever the cloud lift up from the tent or the tabernacle, people set out. Simple. The cloud lift up, people set out. Okay? And whenever in the place where the cloud settled down, and people settle down. Whenever the cloud lift up, they set out. Whenever the clouds settle down, you encamp and you settle down. Pretty simple and repetitious. And if you read this chapter, it's going to repeat it again and again and again and again. What is God doing? Verse 18, at the command of the Lord, people of Israel set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped. I thought it was the cloud. But the Bible says it was the command of the Lord. Command of the Lord, people set out. Command of the Lord, people encamped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. And it repeats. And it repeats like this. If the cloud stay for 2 days, you settle for 2 days. If the cloud stay for 1 month, you settle for 1 month. If the cloud just settle for 1 year, you settle for 1 year. But when the cloud lifts, you follow. You know what I'm thinking? Following Jesus. Following Jesus. Jesus said, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. And I'm thinking about, how do we follow Jesus? Once a week? Just a couple retreats a year? I don't think that's how it is. When I'm reading this Numbers and Exodus story, whenever cloud lifts, we move. Whenever it settles down, we camp. If it is 2 days, we settle down for 2 days. If it is 1 month, we settle down for 1 month. If it is whole year, we settle down for whole year. But whenever cloud lifts, we follow. Isn't that what it means to follow Jesus? Right? It's so interesting. If you go to John chapter 12, which is just 1 week before Jesus went to the cross. So you got to feel the intensity. Just 1 week before Jesus went to the cross, he's in Jerusalem again. In a few days, he will be crucified. And this is what he says. Would you listen carefully? The light is among you for a little while longer. Just one more week. Okay? Walk while you have the light, or else darkness overtake you. What does that word overtake means? Overwhelm you. It's just going to cover you. It's going to destroy you unless you walk while you have the light. And the one who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. Okay? And then verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light. What does it mean to believe? Does that mean walk? Does that mean follow? Walk, follow, believe. Are they different words? Are they different meanings? I don't think so, people. If you believe, you'll walk. If you believe, you will follow. That's what it means to believe. So that you may be the sons of light. That's what Jesus said. I'm just asking you, are you walking? Are you following the light? When the cloud lifts and you follow, when cloud settles, you settle. Are you following Jesus? Are you following? Are you believing in Jesus? Are you walking in Jesus? I see the close connection here. Those who does not walk in the light, walk in darkness. Listen to this. The darkness will overtake you. That's why you are so fearful. That's why you are so angry. That's why you are clueless. That's why you have no life in you. And Jesus is saying, come, walk with me. I am the light of the world. Can I tell you something? When Jesus came into Jerusalem, in Jesus' time, the temple was empty. Did you know that? There was no God's presence there. The temple was completely empty. It was Ichabod. Glory departed. The temple was empty, people. It was empty for 400 years. And God himself, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, came and dwelt, Shekinah, tabernacle with the people. That's what the gospel is. That's what Christianity is. Did you know that? Can you imagine people come and sacrifice animals, giving offerings to empty temple? Empty rituals. empty religion, dead ritual, dead religion. That's what it was. And God himself, destroy this temple. Destroy it. And I'll rebuild it in 3 days. Can I just ask you, is your walk and believing toward the empty sanctuary? Or is it toward Christ, living Christ? And I really mean it, people. I really mean it. Because if you do not walk in the light, the darkness will overtake you or has overtaken you. It has, people. And the word of the Lord is not an exaggeration. I really don't think it is an exaggeration. Okay? I want to give you some thoughts related to this passage. Okay? Just a few thoughts. Jesus is the final and perfect theophany of the tabernacle. We talked about this. He is the final and perfect manifestation or theophany of the tabernacle. God dwelt among us. And John chapter 1 verse 14 says, Word became flesh and dwelt among you. Tabernacled among you. And we have seen his glory, Shekinah. The glory of one and only Son. Full of grace and full of truth. And Jesus is the tabernacle, people. This is not the empty. I hope you don't come to empty church where there is no God. But you come to Christ, right? He's the tabernacle. He's the glory. He's the Shekinah. He's the cloud of a pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. And he's saying, I am the light of the world. Do you know him? I really mean it. Do you know him? Or are you in darkness? If you're not in Jesus, you're in darkness, people. You are in darkness. And darkness has overtaken you, Scripture says. The second thing that I wanted to think about is right here, okay? Whoever follows me. That sounds like a discipleship word, isn't it? No wonder why Jesus said, follow me, follow me, follow me. And you must follow me. Are you following Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? When the Spirit lifts, you take off. When Spirit settles, you settle. Say close, day to day, every day, your entire life, following Jesus, isn't it? It's whoever follows me, like following the cloud of the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, those are the people who have life. Or else darkness overtaken you. It has overtaken you. I'm sorry, but it has overtaken you. And Jesus said, come to the light. It's children of light. Mm-hmm. And just the final thought is, amazingly in Matthew, okay, Jesus, who is the light of the world, says, you are the light of the world. Amazing, if you think, people. Can you look at me? You are the light of the world. And I think about this. If there's a 5 members in your family, okay, and if there is one Christian who is the light, is there a light in that house? Absolutely. Absolute hope. Okay? All 5 of you are in darkness. It's chaotic. It's chaotic, if you could picture it. Okay? Husband and wife, if one spouse has the light, does that marriage has hope? Does that marriage have hope? Absolutely. There is light. Even if this room is complete darkness, I bring one candle, there's going to be light in this place. Light will overcome darkness. Okay? Just think about it, people. Think about your family. Think about your life, your marriage, and your family, and your children. Okay? But here's what I want to share, which I think is real. And you are the only one with the light, but you are smoldering right now. You're kind of like dying down. You're not really following. What's going to happen to your marriage and your family and your children and your life. It's going to put out, right? And Jesus is saying, follow me, follow me. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Or else the darkness will overtake you, people. And I don't think this word of Jesus is something that you want to hear lightly. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. When you have the light, a little while longer, walk in the light and believe in the light so that you will become sons of light. I don't think walking, believing, and following are all different words. Do you? Aren't you coming to an empty sanctuary and try to worship and sacrifice? Which I think it is the saddest thing if you think about it. Jerusalem temple was empty, people. Ichabod, glory departed. Until Christ himself came, glory came. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Come to the light. You don't want to walk in darkness. Because it's going to overtake you. Okay? Let's pray.